Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Rowland County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. And Doc, welcome to the show. Always glad to have you.
Good day. Glad to be here.
Well, a lot going on as always, and we usually start the top of the show with an update on the jail project. I know it's moving along. If you drive by there, you can really see the shape of the building now. The walls are up, and you can see some of the windows have been put in, so I mean it's coming along nicely.
Yeah, we get a roof on it and things will really start moving forward. They're on schedule. We're hopefully going to open up maybe early January and start taking prisoners and put a few more people to work as well.
We always ask you this question too: change orders, any lately?
There was one this time. I think it's about $20,000. We're still I think we might be about $100,000 for the total project, and we put around $930,000, I think it was, in as a contingency fee. So we're about 10%, which we're doing very well compared to some other projects that I've been told about.
And you talk about the $20,000. What does that involve?
Well, there's some chases there that carry some of the ventilation pipes and heating pipes, and for some reason, they did not put doors there so you could access them. So you never know, anything can happen. So it's better to go ahead and spend $20,000 now than get in there and have to start digging and cutting concrete with prisoners in there. So it's probably a step in the right direction. But the architect, I guess, didn't see it at that time, and we must have missed it as well. So when you start building things, then you find those little discrepancies that should have been taken care of.
In regards to the contingency fund, let's say you only spend half of that or less or whatever, and you have $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 left, what happens with that money?
The way I understand it, we can put it back in to the pay some of the bonds down and put it back in as far as debt service. You can also use it to buy equipment maybe for the jail that we may need. I know that my own personal opinion, we need to put one of those scanners in so that nobody can carry drugs in or out of the facility. And those basically, when they leave the facility, go to work or something, they walk through this. Or the first time they come in, they walk through this scanner. It's very low radiation. It's not going to endanger people's lives unless you did it a lot. But people do anything, get a drug, and so you have to have that. If you don't, you're going to have mass chaos and maybe some people overdosing and everything else. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to take some of that money and procure a scanner.
As you move forward and get closer and closer to moving the jail from its current location to the new site, what types of things will be done?
Well, we're going to start hiring a few more employees. I think he's going to give some raises to some of his employees because they're going to be doing – they've stuck with the 12-hour shifts. They came back with some information that the 12-hour shifts really wouldn't save us any or wouldn't cost us any more money than having the three shifts. So he's going to increase the salary for some of those men, give them a new rank, and hire a few new ones. But he's told us he's going to try to do that at a slow pace and try to bring him in as he needs them. We think there may be more on the list right now than he's going to need, and he even thinks that too. But we don't want to wind up going in low bidding something, or low calculating what it's going to cost and how many employees. So he's done a very good job for us so far. We hope he'll continue that.
You talked about the 12-hour shifts. We discussed this on the last program. Mm-hmm. Those would be three 12-hour shifts, right, instead of five 8-hour shifts
No,
per
they'd
week?
No, it'd be two 12-hour shifts versus having three people do 8-hour shifts. And he seems to think that most of the other jails that have large facilities like this are going to the 12-hour shifts. Because it gives those people a chance to have longer weekends. They put in their time. They're not, and they seem to like it. At least that's what he says. And it's easier to take care of the problem. So we're hoping that'll work. We're going to try it and see, and if not, we'll drop back and do something else.
Any fear about the fact that after about 8-9 hours, people just, they'll get tired.
And then That's true.
And then you have the last few hours, and maybe they're not as sharp as they need to be, especially in a jail situation where they should be sharp.
Well, that's true. We're just, we're going with the information from our jailer. He's researched it. He's talked to many of the other jail facilities similar to our size, and that's what they've been using, and they seem to be very happy. I guess if you know you're going to have a 3 or 4 day weekend, I guess maybe you can perk yourself up and get through that 12-hour shift.
All right. As we move forward, and I guess all the agreements are in place with all the counties that will be sending prisoners.
All those have been signed, and we sign them. We've been signing them for before I got here. We were signing those things, so allow us to take prisoners from other communities. And actually, we're taking some from Montgomery County right now. I think we're seeing an increase there. We've got more prisoners than we need, but right now the state does too, and you got to put them somewhere. So we're overcrowded. That's not good. That's opening yourself up to a lawsuit or something bad can happen. But when that's all you can do, and hopefully the best.
You'll be holding Rowan County prisoners, prisoners from other counties, state prisoners. I know that the Carter County Jail holds federal prisoners, and that federal prisoner gets paid. They pay more to hold federal prisoners. Any chance that Rowan County might get some federal prisoners?
I'm not sure we'll have federal prisoners. I think we're going to mainly stick with our local perpetrators and also the some of the Class D state prisoners. I talked about doing that, and they weren't sure we'd actually get any. So you hate to spend a lot of money and not be able to bring them forward, so or to fill up those beds. So I don't think we're actually meet the federal guidelines.
From what I understand, the infrastructure requirements for a jail are a little bit different when you hold
a
federal prisoner. Is that right?
That's correct. And we were trying to do it as cheaply as we could. Again, you might pay it off better if you had federal prisoners, but you might build those a more expensive facility and not be able to get those federal prisoners.
On another subject, you had the second reading of the TIF ordinance.
Yes, we did. Very little debate. We've pretty much had the same vote. Two of them voted against it. The three of us voted for it, and it's passed. We think it's going to, at least I feel it's going to be something good for the community. I know the mayor does, and I think there's many people, there's some people against it because it has tax in it, but it's not an increased tax on anybody. It's just a way to any new growth, some of that tax money will go to the TIF committee, and we'll decide to spend those dollars to upgrade our sidewalks, maybe build some city parks, maybe a parking garage, those kinds of things, and hopefully it'll be something that'll spur development in the downtown area, which we need, and I think most of us want to see Moorhead continue to grow and prosper as well.
Who voted against the measure, and what was the reasoning?
Charlie Winkleman is one of them, and Charlie's probably been the most vocal about it. And his concern, he says, is that you're going to build this and it's going to flood downtown. You know, you're going to have more area for runoff. But, again, we're going to try anything that's built there, we're going to try to make sure that we get less runoff or at least slow the runoff down so we decrease the flooding. Just like on the jail facility, a lot of people say, well, you're going to create a problem with that. But with the landscaping around that and fixing retention ponds and those types of things, we're going to be less water coming off that area of the county, that area of the city than you're going to see in the past. We think that same thing can happen. We thought it was a pretty weak argument. The other one, excuse me, I've got my mind on here in a minute. His concern mainly is just, I guess some of his constituents have got to him and basically our concern that it is a tax. But again, I think if people would attend the meetings, we had a good presentation, but sometimes you let your people pull your strings more than listening to the facts and making a decision. To me, it's a step in the right direction, and again, I hope that we'll see some real development. What I've been told by my economic development director and also from Tony Pence as well, that we've had two groups come here to build to look at building a nice 80-bed, maybe 100-bed facility with a restaurant on the bottom. Maybe
hotel,
some,
right?
Hotel, yes. And that's the whole idea is if we have a downtown hotel, we can bring some development to the city and also hopefully spur development in the county as well.
Well, the TIF district would be in downtown Moorhead, and it's already concrete and blacktop anyway, right?
That's right. That's what I mean. And if you build it, then you can put retention ponds in it. You can put that type of thing like we did down at the courthouse. It's a little more expensive, but you can put the little blocks in with the sand underneath it, and it controls some of that runoff too. So to me, I think that's a pretty weak argument. I wish Charlie would have come around and voted with it. Again, you know, you can't twist their arm too much, and we didn't want to do that anyway because we want people to make a decision without being pressured as well.
Well, what happens next?
Well, we're going to have a committee. Hopefully next week we'll sit down with the group that's been appointed. When we do that, we'll start deciding if how close we are on maybe getting somebody to come here and actually lay some dollars down to build the hotel. We're trying to elicit some other people, other groups to come in and look at it. We've actually talked to most of the, as far as I know, all the local facilities as well. They're doing pretty well right now. They're just not interested in biting off any more debt. But there are people out there in the state and in the nation that are looking to develop these hotels. They think they are a good money maker, that they can make money on them, and we think they will as well.
When do you anticipate perhaps seeing some development inside that TIF district?
I would say give us a year and a half, 2 years. It'll take time, but I think we'll have some signed documents, hopefully earlier than that, that people are willing to come here and commit to building something.
I understand the state has to sign off on this.
State has to sign off on it as well, and we'll send those papers into the state, and we hopefully all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and they'll look at it and say, yes, we are entitled to move forward on this TIF.
It could be a pretty good tax incentive package that you could offer developers when you talk about city, county, and state incentives.
That's right.
All together.
That's exactly right. And we think it will – it's already just the idea of us having a TIF has brought more people to the community looking at building a hotel. And we think once after yesterday signing that and once we get the state's approval, I think they'll jump right in and hopefully be more optimistic about a year and a half or 2 years. Maybe we can get a break ground even this year.
I understand you also had the first reading for the fiscal year 2017-18 budget.
Yes, we did. We didn't really have too much. There were a few little minor changes. I tried to get some more money for the extension service. I wasn't able to do that. I had some people willing to vote against the whole budget because of that. So I'll try to do that in our next meeting. We'll have the second reading, and then you can still add amendments to it. But right now it looks like we've got a pretty good budget. Everybody agreed to vote for it, and we increased some salaries for most of the employees. All the employees will receive at least a 50-cent per hour wage, and we also gave some kind of merit raises to some people in the road department that were kind of underfunded. We want to keep those people, and if you don't pay them enough, they'll go somewhere else if the economy's good. We want to hang on to them because you need an experienced road worker out there to make sure we get the job done. We gave a few raises to some of the people in my central staff there, the treasurer's office and my secretary. And we also moved my deputy judge up to a better salary as well.
So it sounds like most of the county workers did get pay raises.
Everybody got a pay raise, at least 50 cents, and some got a little more than that.
And as you mentioned, it's extremely important to do this occasionally because these people work for a living and you've got inflation and other things to deal with.
That's exactly right. And if you don't pay them, if the economy picks up, which we hope it's going to even – it's already picked up in Round County, but we think it may pick up even more with the developments we have going with the hospital, the jail, with the Community and Technical College building. We think that we've got some real progress already going on, but once they're completed, we'll even have more. And then if you don't have good salaries, those people will move somewhere else.
What's the rough amount for the budget for next year?
I think the total budget for 17-18 is about $12,450,000. And we'll have about a carryover from that budget of about $625,000. The other thing that we did also was we gave an increase, a substantial increase to all our fire departments. I think it was $11,000 to each fire department. And we also, in the this meeting, we increased the funding and got the firehouse. Actually, the county owns this firehouse. That's the one out there by the industrial park. We had to build that to basically have an industrial park. We had to make sure they had good fire service, fire protection. And for some reason, according to one of the magistrates who was actually the fire chief out there, Darrell, he argued that he's still underfunded. So we gave an additional, I think, $14,000 to his facility, and because they've got two facilities, and they need two facilities because you've got Lower Farmers, which is the down toward the lake, and you've got the Upper, which is owned, Upper Farmers, which is owned by the the county owns that building. We pay the utilities out that building. But for some reason, when they did that, they did not give them the same funding. And Darrell argued that his he's going to have the funding if he's going to continue to be able to be a good fire department. So there was some arguing back and forth. Some compromise finally occurred. And there was one, I think Charlie wanted to take the $5,000 that we're paying in utilities out there and make them pay that $5,000. Right now the county pays that. And we had the votes, and Charlie went along with us to increase the funding for that one fire department a little more than the others. But every fire department is going to get an additional $11,000 from the county to help maintain their fire departments.
When you talk about that one department, it has two firehouses, the one, I guess, by the Lower Farmers. You've got the one that's up there by the industrial park. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. One of them is actually owned by the county. That's the one on the up close to the industrial park. And for some reason, when it was started, they never did fund it at the same amount as the other fire departments. So we gave everybody $11,000 more, and at the same time, we increased the funding for the farmers, Upper Farmers, because he made a good strong argument that he's not been treated fairly. He's got two fire departments to try to manage, and you have to supply both of them. You have to have equipment at both of them. You know, and again, if you close one of those fire departments, the people in that area would not have any fire service, and their insurance rates would go right on up out of the roof, a lot of them.
So they're getting the $11,000, and how much more plus?
I think another $14,000, I think, is what it is that brings them up to equal what all the others have been receiving, even though there's two out there, but they have two firehouses to take care of.
Again, our guest today on the Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll take a break on Front Page, come back with more right after this.
WMKY serves the region with news and entertainment showcasing our rich Appalachian heritage. WMKY broadcasts at 90.3 FM from the historic campus of Morehead State University. We value your comments and ask that you take a moment to share your feedback on our programming. Use the comment form found under the support tab on our website, wmky.org. Thanks for listening to WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, let's talk a little bit about an idea that was presented to not only the city but also the county by the joint Rowan-Moorhead Recreation Committee. They'd like to see the city increase the number of insurance premiums and taxes. I believe they talked about auto for one, but they'd like the county also to start taxing insurance premiums. This would pay for additional recreation programs and facilities, but that money could be used for other things like roads and sidewalks and whatever, water piping or whatever you need. So kind of what are your thoughts about that idea?
Well, my thought is I think if we're going to be an attractive community, we're going to have recreational facilities. If you want to have a healthy community for not only the children but for the senior citizens and the people that live in this community, you need recreational facilities. You need parks. You need walkways, you need gyms, you need all those kinds of things. They made a good presentation, and I'm on that board as well as the mayor, and I think we've worked hard and come with a good presentation. But I didn't see a lot of interest in my magistrates about it. Hopefully the people out there will start knocking on their doors, and when they see them in the grocery store, tell them we need recreational facilities, and somebody needs to step up to the plate and pay for them. The days of federal grants and state grants is just about over. Both those areas are struggling with debt, and you're just not seeing a lot of dollars coming out of the federal or the state government. So if people want to have things, you're going to have to look locally and pay for those things yourself. And in that study that was done, I think they got around 2,500 of them back, which was a pretty good turnaround on people sending back surveys. And in that survey, I think about 80% of the people were willing to pay more. And so there were about 65% of them willing to pay up to $50 more. And that insurance premium tax would be somewhere in that range. Again, if you have a more expensive house, you're going to pay a little more. If you have a more expensive automobile, you're going to pay a little more. But on the average, those people that would not be paying much more on their taxes. Nobody likes taxes, but I think everybody wants to see recreation facilities. I don't know anybody that says, no, we don't need them. We've done a good job in this area, but again, the county has not done much. I think we put about $10,000 a year out of our budget into that, and basically the city does most of that work. Many of the people in the city would like to see us to step up the plate and put some money into recreation facilities. Again, about, I think they said 60 to 70% of the people that use the city park over here are county residents. So it's kind of tough to ask them to take care of all that effort and at the same time basically being used more by county than is city. So I'm willing to look at it. I think other counties have used this insurance premium tax. It's probably about as fair a tax as you can find because if you can afford the insurance, hopefully you can afford a few more dollars. I think it can go up from anywhere from 1% up to even 15%. Some communities use it up to 15%. That's pretty steep, and I know the city, I think they're at 5%. There's about seven different areas of insurance you can put them on, and I think the city only uses three. Some communities tax all of them. Some communities only tax one or two. If we went with probably the three that the downtown uses, I think they use it on property casualty. They use it on the
Inland Marine,
but they don't use the city does not go after the cars right now. And they were looking at putting a tax increase in theirs on the cars. It'd raise them about $100,000, $200,000 in new revenue. If we put all three on and with the city, I think it would be around $1.2 million that we could use. And you could bond some very nice facilities if you brought that kind of money in every year. And there's no reason we wouldn't bring that in with, hopefully, with increased development in the community, we're going to see larger and nicer buildings, nicer homes, and people will hopefully be able to afford that insurance premium tax if that's the way we have to go. But again, I don't think I could have got a second on it at that meeting, and I know the city didn't get a second on any of their increase in the car tax. Insurance premium tax on the cars, and it's an election year coming up, and maybe we may have to wait till after the election to see who comes out in the clear. And at that time, if I know when we ran the last time in the county races, one of the biggest issues of all was recreation, lack of a city pool, and every one of us that ran for office pledged that we were going to do something about it. And right now we've not been able to get the other votes to make that happen. So I know the mayor and myself have, when you go out here and talk about it, you're putting yourself in jeopardy, but sometimes you got to do those things.
Do you think it's an idea, though, that will eventually happen?
I think if you're going to have recreation facilities, unless there's a big turnaround in the federal government or a big turnaround in state government, and I don't see that in the near future, if you want those kind of facilities, you're going to have to find a way to pay for them.
So it may locally. Take the public kind of getting behind us and pushing on it?
I think it will. I mean, that's the easiest way to lead is when people are pushing you from behind and telling you got to do this. And I think with an election coming up, that's going to be an issue, and people have to step up the plate and decide whether I'm going to vote for an increase in taxes so we can have those kind of facilities. Again, if you want to develop this community, you're going to have all the keys to make that development happen. Right now, our school system's good. Our road system's in fairly good shape. The community's in good shape, but our recreation facilities aren't. And when you try to bring people in, try to bring community or factories and jobs into your community, even the hospital, if you want to bring and the university, too. If you want to bring good quality people into the hospital that are going to work at the hospital, if you're going to bring good faculty to this, continue to bring good faculty to the university, you're going to have those kind of facilities. And the university has stepped up and the hospital has stepped up and they're building new facilities, remodel of what they have. We've got premier university, a premier hospital, and we need premier recreation facilities. And I think that they feel the same way, and hopefully that kind of push with the, and the people out there that want to see their children have a nice pool to go to, or splash park, or if they want to have a nice gym for the wintertime where they can go and exercise and play ball, play volleyball, whichever. It's going to take dollars. It's going to take a willpower of the people out here to start asking for those facilities and say, I'm willing to pay.
Well, Judge Blevins, as always, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Again, Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.